This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It is May 9th, 2018. Let's see. Welcome to Bicycle Talk. This week without my co-host, the lovely Fran Storch, who is currently flapping her wings through the air and flying back from Florida. And she will be with us next week, which is why we had a recorded show before this, which unfortunately had a short problem. So it ended up a little shorter than what we had planned on. So anyway, we're back. And now you have a real live voice. And I am Peddlin' Ron. This is a show where we talk about bicycles, Bicycle Talk. Is bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, you can please call or text at 486-9487, or you can email me at bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. If you're listening to this on podcast, you can send me an email to bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com, or you can visit and comment at Bicycle Talk on Facebook. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. All right, going to start this one out with Ron's rant of the week. So who's on my rant list this week? The Ford Motor Company. What does a car company have to do with bicycles, you might ask? Well, I'll tell you what they have to do with it. They are producing vehicles, as is a number of car companies out there. They're producing vehicles that are sharing the roads with us, or on the roads to supposedly being used the same way as we would use the roads, as a transportation or a mode for transportation. So why am I upset with Ford Motor Company? Well, I'll tell you why. They have made a decision to stop making almost all of their passenger vehicle cars as we know them, the old sedan style of cars. The only thing they're going to keep is they're going to keep the Ford Mustang, and they're going to keep Focus, I believe, is the other one. But what they're going to do instead is they are going to take that Focus, which used to be a nice little, you know, economy-oriented vehicle, and I have to say little is the key word here, a smaller car, a practical-sized car, and they are going to beef it up and make it into an all-wheel drive and make it similar to what they sell in all of their trucks, because apparently trucks are where Ford makes its money, and so it has decided that it is going to put more trucks on the road. Since they put more trucks on the road than any other company, that's, I think, a disputable statement, but I believe that they are still the leader as far as that goes. They're going to increase their lines or increase their production of truck-like vehicles. I like to call SUVs truck-like vehicles because they're all based on a truck platform, and they are going to kind of supersize the Ford Focus. What does that mean? That means they're taking away all their small economy cars. So all the little cars that don't take up as big a footprint on the road and that do not consume as much fuel as the bigger vehicles do are going to go away. They're going to hybrid some of their bigger vehicles, which will help them with their fuel economy for sure. But the problem that I have with this and the reason that I'm ranting on this is very, very simple. The footprint of that vehicle is large. The driver of that vehicle, unfortunately, is not as used to driving a large size vehicle like that as they would be with a smaller sedan. And therefore, we have a problem as vulnerable users on the road riding bicycles and also being a pedestrian, where we are unfortunately not seen as well. We're not navigated around as well. And come on, Ford, what are you thinking? So here's the deal. These guys start out and they're going to make this change. And how long is it going to take before General Motors does the same thing? How long is it going to take before Toyota goes there too? Because the U.S. market seems to be, or they have programmed us to seem to think, that we need to have a truck-like vehicle in order to get ourselves around. No, you don't. You need a bicycle to get yourself around. You need a practical vehicle. You need a practical way of transporting yourself. Mass transportation is great. Walking is great. Riding your bike is great. These are all really, really good things. And I know they don't work for everyone. I certainly understand that. And but why does everyone have to drive a truck? The biggest problem that we have with trucks as cyclists on the road is because that is the fact that the vehicle has become so large that there is really an issue when it comes to getting around the cyclist who's riding in the road, as they should be. That's where we belong. We belong there as much as a motorized vehicle belongs there. I'm going to put extra shout outs to those folks that have turned their bicycling habit and hobby into their commuter. And that's wonderful. And as our weather changes here, up here in the Northeast, there's more and more opportunity to get out there on your bicycle. It's a great, great thing. But Ford, come on, you're setting a bad story here for others. It's just not going to, it doesn't sit really well with me. If you have anything you want to say about this, if you want to gripe about this at all, please, you can email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. If you're a lover of trucks and you want to complain to me about it, I love trolls. Love ya. Go ahead, talk to me. I want to hear it. I also have a Facebook page, Bicycle Talk, and you can leave your comments there too. I would love to hear what you have to say about Ford's decision to take passenger cars and small vehicles off the road and only put truck-like vehicles on the road. Dying to hear the response, so please feel free to shout out to me. I think that that pretty much covers that subject. So, on a positive side, I got a couple of things here. First of all, two things. It is Wednesday, May 9th. You know what that means? I'll tell you what it means. It means it is Bike to School Day 2018 in the United States of America. Yes, siree. It's a walk or bike to school day. And I'm hoping that there are a number of people out here that have organized this sort of thing for their local schools. This is a great opportunity to get your local, it gets your local police departments and officials involved in basically, you know, helping children, kids get themselves to school, high school kids, everybody, to get yourself to school by your own power, which is kind of a cool thing. I know that I have a teacher for one of the grammar schools here in town that takes one of my cycling classes, indoor cycling classes, and also she takes one of my walking classes, and she was telling me that they were organizing something for their school and it was going to be a really cool thing, and they were going to have a lot of kids that were coming in. They were actually going to have a separate place for the parents to drop kids off and park so that they could actually get a piece of the experience of what it's like to bring yourself into school. Now, if you live in a city situation and you have that environment where you can do that, I know that my nephews down in New Jersey, they walk to school because they can. They're within a mile of school and they walk to school every day, and it's just a great, great thing. So walking to school is a really, really positive thing, and today is the National Bike or Walk to School Day. So I'm hoping that there are lots of folks out there that are participating in this. I'm hoping that you as a parent, if you're listening to this, have encouraged this, because this is a great way to expose your child to the alternatives to strapping into the truck-like vehicle and, you know, being dropped off at school. That's another thing that really annoys me to no end. I sent my son on the big yellow limo because I always felt the big yellow limo was, and still is to this day, the safest way to bring your child to school. I was hoping to prepare some statistics on that because I remember reading this at one point, and you're certainly welcome to look this up online, but there are more problems with people driving their kids to school and dropping them off, and more injuries, more deaths, yes, it's all true, by people who are dropping their kids off at school than there are in school bus accidents. So, you know, if you think you're doing the right thing because you're worried about the school bus being an unsafe environment for your child, guess what? It's not. It really isn't. What happens is the parents, they drop their kids off at school. They're oftentimes, they are late to work. So they are dropping their child off with, you know, with a little bit of haste. They're not thinking about it real well. They get the kids out of the car and then they zoom off. And when they do, child number two, who is being dropped off at the same time, happens to be in front of that vehicle, and the consequences are not good. So it is not a safe environment to drive your child to school. It really isn't. So you might want to reconsider that. It's really, you know, it's a debatable point for sure. But anyway, so shout out on the bike and walk to school day, which is very good. We also have Bike and Walk to Work Day coming up here very shortly, and that is a national event also. The other thing that I want to bring out, and this is on a positive side, and I'm labeling this one as sometimes the timing is right. Well, the reason I'm saying this, and if you're listening to this or if you hear about this and you are the person who or person or persons that were driving those vehicles this morning, I have to tell you, I was out with my fitness walking class this morning, and we got to a crosswalk, and we stepped into the crosswalk to cross the road. It was on Route 275 right here in Storrs. And when we did that, we looked across the way, and there was a car coming out of an intersection across the street from us who had waved us out. And then there was also there were cars coming from both directions towards the crosswalk. And two of those cars, they ran right through the crosswalk as we were stepped into it and ready to cross. The car that was coming out of the intersection across the street just happened to be a police officer. And they had their window down, and as those two cars zoomed through with no regard through the crosswalk, we walked across, and I looked over, and I said, "This is a crosswalk. They just did something very illegal." The lights went on, and the police officer went after the two offending cars. So sometimes, like I say, the timing is right. So that was kind of we had a great moment this morning. The people that were with me were all kind of cheering about it, because I talk about this a lot, especially when I'm out taking people out for fitness walks, you know, that the crosswalks are there for the pedestrians. And that goes for you riding a bicycle too. So if you're riding a bicycle and you are approaching a crosswalk and a pedestrian is stepping into that crosswalk, yes, you have to stop. You are a vehicle. You have to stop. So remember that when you're approaching crosswalks. Crosswalks are only for the pedestrians. That's where they are. That's what they're designated for. The other thing is that, you know, someone had a big question for me about this too. Can I use a crosswalk to cross the street with my bicycle? And there are so that brings apart that brings upon us a little bit of a question. And the question is, well, if it's just for pedestrians, then I probably shouldn't be in it with my vehicle, because my vehicle is a bicycle. And on the other hand, certain towns, like the one that I live in, Mansfield, has decided that riding your bicycle on the sidewalk is legal in this town. It is not legal in most towns. So you might want to check your local towns and just check, maybe call the police department, talk to them about it, talk to someone in the engineering department, someone who might know something about traffic and pedestrian safety in town, and see what the deal is. Now, there is an exception here, and that is if you are walking your bicycle across the street in the crosswalk, it is completely legal to do that. The other thing is, and the one thing that I throw out there and I try to remind people of that are riding their bicycles on sidewalks and in crosswalks, is pedestrian speed only. So that means you got to slow down. You don't just zoom across. And yes, it is safer at some intersections to use that crosswalk to get through. But it does throw out a level of confusion to the driver of the motorized vehicle that's out there. So you're better, always better, to keep in the lane of traffic and identify yourself as a vehicle and use your bicycle as a vehicle. Be the vehicle that's out there. You just happen to be self-propelled, that's all. So anyway, timing is right. The Yukon police had a nice little pullover this morning for one or two. Guess what they were? truck-like vehicles. And of course, and they were both pulled over up the street for running through a crosswalk when there were people in the where there were pedestrians trying to cross. So keep your eyes open on that. That costs you some money if you're not careful. So be careful. So next thing on my list here, I have the maintenance minute. And this one's a shout out to my friend Bruce out in Lebanon. And Bruce and I were out for a really nice ride on Saturday. Had a great ride. God, I went up one of my favorite roads that I ride on is a road out here in Willington. It's called Moose Meadow Road. And there, I don't know if I've ever seen a moose on there except for the one that is the old sign that's kind of hidden back in the bushes that no one knows about until you point it out to them. And that one was actually pointed out to me by a friend of mine that kept telling me about, yeah, there's a moose on Moose Meadow. And I go, no, there's not. And sure enough, there it was. He showed me on a ride that we went on. But anyway, so we rode up Moose Meadow. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. You climb up over 750 feet, so you get up pretty high. And then we turn back on this lovely road, which is called Westford Hill Road. And it is a back road. It has a really, really sharp, well, has a short down uphill to get you up to the very, very top of the world. And at that point, you're well over 750 feet. And then it has a just an unbelievable downhill. And it starts out by dropping down very quickly, and it drops into a 90-degree turn, and you just kind of, you know, you just get into the flow of it, and you ride through the turn, and the sand's off the road now, so you can just let it go, and then it flows. It has this incredible flow to it. Those of you who ride a lot, those of you who are listening to this, and you know that feel on the road when you get into that flow, and everything is just working right, and you're really kind of, you're in a big gear, but you're soft pedaling the gear because you can, so you're just spinning it out, and just maintaining a nice pace. And I like to call it that point where I get a really true false sense of fitness. I feel like I'm Superman when I'm doing that. So you're going down this, and we just had this great ride. And then Bruce's bike made a noise, a very, very loud noise. And I've never heard anything quite like it before. I've been around bikes my whole life. I've worked on bikes my whole life, and this one was weird. And he had told me about this. He said, my bike makes this crazy noise. I just don't know what it is. And I didn't know what to say. You know, I said, well, have you checked this? Have you checked that? Check the hubs, check the, you know, checking all this different. So I had the opportunity to be able to ride alongside of him and hear where noises were coming from. And we could hear that there were two noises. There was a clicking noise, not a clicking noise, a whining noise, almost like a really high-pitched whine. And that seemed to be coming out of the rear wheel. And then there was this really, really loud squealing, screeching noise. It almost sounded like brakes on the rim, but it wasn't brakes on the rim. It was apparently was coming out of the hub. So we're guessing that maybe there was a bearing that was starting to seize, and that's what did it. And it was not while pedaling. It was just while coasting. So that brings me to the maintenance minute of paying attention to unusual noises on your bicycle. We, of course, pulled over, and we pulled the wheels off, and I felt them, and I felt the bearings to see if I could feel any kind of a click in them. And a lot of the bearings on a lot of the new bikes now and the new wheels, they're all sealed bearings, so it's kind of hard to know what's going on in there. But they do break down after a while. Just because they're a sealed bearing does not mean that they're going to last forever. So you should probably take a look at that and pay attention to it. I sent them off to a local bike shop, and I said, just go there, tell them what happened, tell them I was with you. If they can call me, they know me, they can call me if they have any questions about it. But I said, I think you need to replace the bearings in both wheels. I think you need to pull them out, replace them, put new ones in, and then we'll try from there. So he had another set of wheels he could put on his bike, so his bike is still rideable, and he's having the wheels overhauled so that he can get that taken care of. So if you get weird noises on your bikes, don't ignore it. You want to pay attention to it, and you want to get it off to your local bike shop and have them take a look and see what they can do about maybe, you know, making things a little bit quieter and also safer, because you wouldn't want one of those bearings to seize. It really did sound a lot like a bearing freeze. That was the noise that I got out of it. I've heard that in automobiles. I've heard it on bicycles. I've heard it on actually, fitness bikes are famous for it because they get sweat on so much, and eventually that can be a problem. So pay attention to the noises on your bikes. That's my maintenance minute. Moving forward, we are going to go to the Giro d'Italia. Yeah, anybody watching the Giro out there? Come on, got to be watching the Giro. It's great. The first few days were really interesting because they start the route this year. It started in Jerusalem, actually, in Israel, and which is a first. They have never done this before, and it was really exciting. They had a time trial in Jerusalem, and, you know, time trials are generally flat unless it's a hill time trial where you're just climbing straight up the hill. But generally they are on a flat course, and they are very fast, either an out and back, or they're a point to point, or even just a big loop. So the time trial, though, was very, very short. It was only 9 kilometers long, which is really, really short. So I thought that was kind of unusual, and then I talked to someone at my local community center who is from Israel, and they said, Jerusalem is really, really hilly. And I went, really? I said, I looked at the ride profile on it, and the ride profile is pretty flat. And they said, well, they would have to find a very short distanced area to be able to put together a bunch of flat roads that would make it a flat course. And if you look at the profile and then you look at it, it had a ton of turns in it. So apparently they figured out a way to wiggle and worm their way through Jerusalem and keep it flat so that they could have a really fast starting time trial. So that was the first day. And then the second day they got out onto the road and started riding out into the countryside. And there was a stage that either started or finished in Tel Aviv. It was the Tel Aviv stage. And then there was a third one, which went way out into some amazing countryside. And the coolest thing about it is that when they film these races, they often have a helicopter in the sky, and they're doing a lot of sky cam. So they're watching the race from above, and oftentimes just to make it interesting to anyone who's watching the race, because, you know, when you're out there for a long period of time and they're just kind of riding along, it's not as interesting as it is when there's excitement and sharp turns and big sprints and hard climbs. So they'll pan the camera off in different directions. I had no idea how beautiful it is in Israel. It's absolutely gorgeous. There's a ton of wide open space out there, albeit that it's desert, and, you know, because that's most of Israel is in the desert. But it's just unbelievable countryside. It looks a lot like California to me. It has a very similar look to it, dry and arid, and then big mountainous areas too, between the wide open flat spaces. It was really hot. It was there was a tremendous amount of wind, and I enjoyed watching it in, let's see, what language? I watched it in Hebrew, because for some reason the US feeds, or the I should say the English speaking feeds, have all become pay only, and I like to watch it on steephill.tv because you can sometimes watch it and not have to put a lot of money out into it. So I that's my method of doing it. But for some reason, the Giro this year has been locked into just a pay feed only. And I know that NBC Sportsnet is one of those that you can get it through. So there are options out there for sure. So there are other ways of looking at it. But it's really fun to watch in another language too, because the excitement level that you hear from different commentators is always a good time. So anyway, wonderful footage. The filming was tremendous. And I don't know if it was actually the actually Israeli TV that was filming it, or if they had a film crew that came over from Italy that did it, but the filming was tremendous. It was really, really crisp and clear, and a lot of close-ups. And so anyway, it was fun. It was a fun thing to watch. And then yesterday they were in Sicily, and today I think they're hitting mainland today. So there's the Giro is going on, and it's very, very exciting. For those of you who love bicycle racing, this is an exciting time right now to watch the race. So if you get a chance, you can go online, you can check it out, and see what's going on. There's just a lot of really cool stuff happening in Italy right now and in the bicycle racing world. So keep your eyes on it. The leads change a lot, but just because it's pretty flat right now. And then once they get into the more serious climbs, I think you're going to see a lot more change. And you're going to see a lot of these. The general classification is going to change dramatically. So you're going to start seeing like stage five, which is today's race, which is probably over as I'm broadcasting this right now. It's probably over by now, but it had some pretty good climbs in it, especially after, a little over the halfway point. There were definitely some higher category four climbs. A couple of them, one, two, I see three of them listed here. So, and it looks like a short, steep uphill finish too. So we're starting to warm those legs up. We're starting to put the little skinny light guys up in the front, and we're watching to see how that progresses. So we'll see. Tomorrow's race will be moving up to an unbelievable finish. It's again, now we're into the climbs. We're doing a lot of rolling through, and the category one climb is the finish line on this one. It looks painful. That's what it looks like. It looks really, really painful. So I would expect today and tomorrow to start some excitement, a little bit of swapping around of places, a lot of people riding as their teams, riding together to try to protect other riders, to try to get their main rider up in the front. This is bike racing. It's often been referred to as, or I've often referred to it as, a chess game on wheels, which is really what it is, because there's so much going on within the race. Some people don't actually see that, because if you're standing on the side of the road and you watch them go by you at 30 miles an hour, it's just, you hear the whir of the bicycles, and you see them go by in a flash, and then they're gone. So there's not a whole lot to see. But it is changing. It is changing rapidly. The day after that, when we get to the next stage, which will be after that very, very steep climb, it flattens out seriously. They go right back down to the flats again. So anyway, there's profiles online that you can go to. If you go to the place that I have found most of my information is on the girodetalia.it/ENG for English, and you can get the English version of it, and you can take a look at it, and you can see all the excitement that's happening in the Tour of Italy right now. So that's kind of a cool thing. I think that we need to get excited about this bike racing thing. It's pretty cool. It's definitely cool stuff. If you've ever raced a bike before, if you are a bike racer right now, you kind of understand where I'm coming from. If you don't, if you just ride your bike and you really enjoy riding your bike, it's interesting. This is your sport. This is it's different than a ball sport. There are no balls involved. There's just bicycles involved, big round wheels. So anyway, check out the Giro. I'll be updating every week as we go along, just to keep the discussion open here. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in future episodes. So I wanted to touch base on something from earlier, and that was that today is the Bike to School Day. And I wanted to go to a little bit of a discussion about Safe Routes to School today. And the Safe Routes to School program, there is a national program here, and it's really designed around trying to get more kids to be able to get themselves to school without having to be worried about traffic and other things. And the whole point here is to get kids out, to get them out and get them to put in a mile walk to school, and you get a lot of exercise. You really do. So it's a thing that is certainly there's a quick facts and stats right here. Some of those, health and obesity. Children today are simply not getting enough physical activity, contributing to growing rates of obesity and obesity-related health problems, such as diabetes. Safe routes to school projects make it safer for more children to walk and bicycle to school, which will help address this obesity crisis among children by creating increases in physical activity. So this is for walking right here, this particular one. But 1 mile of walking each way, so you got 2 miles, okay, is 2/3 of the daily recommended 60 minutes of physical activity. Think about that. So if you have a mile walk to school or a mile bike ride, the bike ride is not going to produce as much of a calorie burn, but it's still a great way to transport yourself. Maybe the ride to school is 2 or 3 miles, and then you're going to get more benefit from that. The point being that you're going to hit quite a ways into the daily recommended 60 minutes of physical activity, and you can do it just by transporting, having your child transport themselves to school. And over the past 40 years, the rates of obesity have soared among children of all ages in the United States, and approximately 25 million children and adolescents, more than 33%, are now overweight or obese or at risk of becoming so. Kids are less active today, and 23% of children get no free time physical activity at all. The prevalence of obesity is so great that today's generation of children may be the first in over 200 years to live less healthy and have shorter lifespan than their parents. I just don't know where to begin. Folks, get your kids out on your bikes. Didn't we talk about this a few weeks ago when I had Laura and Kevin on? You got to get your kids out. Get them moving. You got to stop it now. Stop the trend, because once it starts, it'll only get worse. I heard something on the radio the other day. I could not believe that I heard this, but there is a trend right now of schools and universities to have esports. Okay, I may have to rant on this in a little bit, but I'm gonna let a little bit of it out right now. Esports. So if you don't know what an esport is, it's extremely popular in Asia, and it's creeping into the United States. An esport is where people sit around and they watch other quote unquote athletes. Oh, that's a frightening thought. Play video games. It's true. It's all true. It's out there. It is actually part of curriculum and activity in schools. It's scary. I can't believe they would even consider that. It's like, it is not a sport to sit on your back end and do nothing. I mean, come on. I'll look into this a little bit deeper. When I heard it, I was just completely flabbergasted. I could not believe what I was hearing. I'm going to do a little research on it, and I'll talk about it in the future. But really, esports, get a life. Hey, if you want to rant to me about it, please do. BicycleTalk1@gmail.com, or you can see me on Facebook at Bicycle Talk. I'd love to hear why esports are making you physically fit. I'd love to hear it. So anyway, this goes back to our safe routes to school and what you need to do about taking care of that. If you go to saferootspartnership.org, you can go right to the national website here. It'll explain to you who they are, all about healthy communities, expert help, resources that you can find, funding and ways to get funding to take care of your safe routes to school. And anyway, it'll also give you stats about your particular state and where you stand, which brings me to, let me see here if I can find this. I decided that we needed to learn a little bit more about this. So let me see here. Resources, Safe Routes to School. I looked up Connecticut to see where they were and what was going on with the state of Connecticut. I kind of wanted to know. I mean, what's the deal? How do we rate? We don't rate so good. Okay, we're okay. We're on our way, I think, is what they say. But it's not really the direction. I mean, we just need to do a whole lot more to become more accepted as a state that is working hard on getting our safe routes to school going. Back in the earlier days when I was sitting on the board of directors for the Connecticut Bicycle Coalition here in Connecticut, we had a very strong Safe Routes to School program. And I'm wondering if maybe that our information that we have right now is more about it is more about what was done all the way back then than it is now. But I don't know. Well, we definitely need to do something about it. It's definitely worth taking a look at. So consider bringing a Safe Route to School topic into your community. Bring it up at local town meeting. Bring it up to your transportation committee. If you have a transportation committee or board in town, you might want to talk about this a little bit more. Bring it to the school board. Talk to the school board about it. There's lots of ways that you can do this. So this is important stuff. We want to teach our kids now that transporting themselves by way of themselves, either bicycle and or walking, is a good direction to go, and it's a good life direction to go. So anyway, you might want to take a look at that and see what's going on. There's a lot of interesting programs out there, and there are interesting ways of getting funding. So take a look. Take a look and see what you can do to bring safe routes to your town and be an ambassador. Do what we need to do to help recognize all this. So along with May being Bicycle Month, as it is, and all the different things that are going on here, I had talked about this a while back. Actually, I was on a show a few years ago. Maybe it was actually two summers ago. I can't remember. We had actually someone who was involved with something called the Ride of Silence. And the Ride of Silence is the Wednesday of Bike to Work Week. It is coming up very soon. That's why I bring it up. It would be a week from today, actually. I believe it is the 16th of May. And what the Ride of Silence is all about is it's all about a... it starts out with... it's to remember cyclists who have been killed due to a bicycle motorist crash. And you can, of course, submit a rider's name for inclusion on the page. If you go to the Ride of Silence, the Ride of Silence is rideofsilence.org. And it's just an eye-opening experience. You get to see a list of people that unfortunately have met their end on their bicycle. It's almost always with a motorized vehicle. Very rarely is it any other way. And anyway, so the League of American Bicyclists has launched a new project called Every Bicyclist Counts to capture, collect, and deeply analyze fatal crash data starting. And that started all the way back in January of 2012. The Ride of Silence completely supports Every Bicycle Counts and encourages our supporters and organizers to submit crash information as they know it to the EBC website, so they might get together and better understand and do something about eliminating fatal bicycle crashes around our country and around the world. So the Ride of Silence has been designed as a way to gather a lot of riders together from a particular site. If you go onto the Ride of Silence, Silence's website, you can click on your state and you can take a look and you can see who is organizing a Ride of Silence in your state. I only saw two organized in Connecticut at this time. I'm going to shout out for all my Connecticut listeners. hey, there were a whole bunch more last year. I saw one in West Hartford last year. I actually participated in one in West Hartford last year. And I'm concerned that either they didn't get onto the Ride of Silence's website or there's something I'm not aware of. So if anybody knows about that, please contact me, bicycletalk1@gmail.com. I'd love to hear about your Ride of Silence in your area. These have been known to attract up to 1,000 people. What happens is everyone gathers. There's usually a speaker that talks about, what they're going to do. And we basically went out in West Hartford. That's the way it worked. We went out and we rode on a predetermined route. It can be as short as 5 miles. It can be as long as 15. You know, it depends on who the organizer is and what they're doing. And you just basically go out and you ride in silence and you pretty much command the road. Now, you don't do this without talking to your local law enforcement. So you want to talk to your public enforcement and you want to say, hey, I want to do this. I would like to have some police help with this. I know in the West Hartford ride, it was really cool. We had a cruiser that was going to the key intersections, and that cruiser was stopping traffic. There were a couple of officers there. There were a couple of officers that were actually riding with the ride and participating in the ride and also, you know, zooming up ahead to the intersection so that they could help get people across. So they were having a good day. They got a good workout in because they were zipping back and forth. But so it's a very protected ride as long as you organize it correctly. Talk to your local law enforcement officials and see what you can do about putting together a ride of silence. It's an awareness thing. It's a silent protest to let people know who are driving motorized vehicles that bicycles are very, very, and bicyclists are very vulnerable people. And we need to let them understand that, you know, protection is we're all people. You get out of your metal box and you're a person just like I am on my bicycle. I get off of my bicycle and I'm just a person like you are. We're talking about people, we're talking about lives, we're talking about mothers, fathers, grandfathers, grandmothers, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters. I can go down the list. People. They're all just people. And remember, you know, that person that you see on the bicycle, if you're out in your motorized vehicle and you're feeling annoyed at seeing them, they might be the judge that gives you the sentence the next time you do something wrong. Be careful. You don't know who's hiding underneath that cycle gear, or who's riding that bicycle. You never know. I ride with police officers. I ride with lawyers. I ride with doctors. I ride with teachers. I ride with a lot of different people I ride with first responders that are in the medical community. I ride with people that can help you and save your life and change your life and change your child's life, all these things. And you know what? We're just all people. So let's behave. Let's be really good. So the Ride of Silence, as I said, there were only two that I saw here in Connecticut at this time. One is going to be in Danbury, Connecticut, and the other one is going to be in Danielson, Connecticut, which is actually fairly close by to where I live. So I might contact them and see what that is all about, because I may go and participate in that. And that will be next Wednesday night. So check and see if your town has a Ride of Silence. If it doesn't, see what you can do to put one together. It's a little late doing that, but you know what? It's a good idea. And again, it's a recognition thing. It's a way of letting people know that bicycles do count. We all count. So anyway, Ride of Silence was another thing I wanted to touch base on. I think it's a very, very good thing. And you want to, you just want to do what you can to do your part, please. So, Bike to Work Day, coming up really, really soon. Okay, so Bike to Work Day is a nationally celebrated activity. It is done through the League of American Bicyclists on the official route here. So it is coming up at the end of next week. So it will be actually on the Friday of next week. So it's nationwide. You will find that a lot of cycling organizations, maybe even bicycle shops, are organizing this, and they are they're putting out places for people to ride to. I know that Bike Mansfield, my local group here in town, is having a bike to work day, and you'll be able to ride up and just kind of sign in with them and get yourself registered as one of the people who actually rode your bike to work that day. And I believe they're going to have some refreshments there, which is kind of cool. So that's something. In Hartford, there is the Bike Walk Connecticut has decided to, they're doing, once again, they're not decided, they also have their bike to work and day, which is on that Friday. I have participated in that in the past. It's always a neat event because a lot of people gather, and they all end up getting together at the Old State House in Hartford, which is really kind of a cool thing. So the way it works is in Connecticut. Just so you know, we have the Hartford is our state capital. It's hosted by Bike Walk Connecticut. It's Friday, May 18th. It goes from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. It meets at the Old State House, 800 Main Street in Hartford, Connecticut. And you get to meet with other commuters and chat with, there'll be some exhibitors there, and you get to enjoy breakfast before heading off to work. So the event actually starts at 7 a.m. And at 8 a.m., there are some speakers, and there's a few words to celebrate the day. We're hoping that maybe some local politicians who care about vulnerable users out on the road show up and chat with us, and we can get some inspiring words from them, and maybe we can send some inspiring words back to them also. So there are other days that there are going to be bike to work days. And this is interesting. East Hartford has Thursday, May 24th as their bike to work day, which is different than May 18th. So apparently they're doing a little bit different thing. And but that you'll find all this information. Once again, you will find on the Bike Walk CT page. So check that out. Glastonbury is participating on May 18th from 6:30 to 9 a.m. They're going to ride to Hartford, and they're going to leave at 6:45 in the morning on the ride into Hartford. And they are going to be gathering at my friends at Bicycles East on the New London Turnpike in Glastonbury, Connecticut. And it's hosted by my friends at Bicycle East. Be sure if you do go to Glastonbury and ride in that you say hi to Deb and to Steve, and give them a tip of the cycling cap for doing what they're doing, because they're very good about advocacy out of that store. Very, very nice. It's always nice to see. New Britain is also hosting something, and that is 7 a.m. to 8:30 a.m., and it's at Central Park across from City Hall in New Britain, Connecticut, and they also have a free breakfast and reception there. In New Haven, you'll find at Pitkin Plaza on Orange Street in New Haven, and you can come join New Haven Bike Month and the Elm City Cycling for bike and walk to work and school breakfast to celebrate National Bike to Work Day. You can enjoy breakfast, coffee, conversation with dozens of other commuting cyclists, pedestrians, including students, parents, and staff from their event sponsor. And I'll let you go online so you can check that out. In Simsbury, there is also another one. Now, Simsbury was one of our earlier bike-friendly towns in the state of Connecticut. The town I live in now, Mansfield, is also one of those bike-friendly towns, which is kind of a cool thing. And they are going to be 6:30 to 8:30 a.m. They have a coffee and social at Simsbury Meadows on Iron Horse Boulevard. So you can check that out. And of course, West Hartford is also listed here, and they are Spot Coffee on Memorial Drive and in Blueback Square, hosted by the West Hartford Pedestrian and Bicycle Commission. So they're going to have a little celebration there too, and they are going to have the commissioner, DOT commissioner, Redeker is going to be there, and there are going to be a few other officials there, which is kind of a cool thing. All of these things you can find if you go to bikewalkct.org, and that will give you information about riding your bike to work on Bike to Work Day. So you may ask, how do I do this? How do I get to the point where, you know what, I'm thinking about it. I listened to Pedal and Run on Bicycle Talk, and I got all charged up, and I'm thinking, you know, I've got this bike, and I can do this. I just don't know where to start. Well, let's start with taking a look at that bike and making sure that bike is okay and suitable for riding, because I don't want you to have any problems out there. So I want you to make sure that it's safe to ride. Make sure that it's tuned up and ready to go. I will say that the local bike shops are, they went from, we don't know why the spring has not started, to, I can't believe how busy we are. So you might want to attend to that right away, because I'd love to have you get that bike back before the event that's coming up. You've got a week and a half to do it, so go look at your local bike shop and check it out and see what they've got for you to get your bike tuned up and ready to go. It may need just air in the tires, a little lubrication on the chain. You never know. It could be something as simple as that, or it could be that, you know, you probably shouldn't have neglected that bike for so long, and you're going to have to do something a little more extensive about it. But anyway, you should definitely look the bike over. If you're good, if you're one of my Mechanical Minute people and you're good with checking things out and you're feeling like you have the ability to do some of this yourself, then definitely do it. I highly recommend that you get out and ride your bike a little bit before this, so you are ready to handle whatever it is that your whether your fitness is there or not. You want to make sure that everything is good to go. So definitely get out, ride your bike, maybe get out this weekend and, you know, kind of get the cobwebs out, maybe get the cobwebs off the bike too at the same time, and get yourself ready to go. If you are commuting, remember, you want to be able to carry a few things with you that will make things safer for you. My favorite number one safety device that I carry on my bicycle is my cell phone. I find it's useful for a number of things, mainly because you can call for help if you need help. You can also use it for finding your way around, because you can, a lot of the cell phones now have mapping systems on them, so you can use that. I love my cell phone for those reasons. I hate my cell phone for all the other reasons, but therefore, you know, I really, there's nothing more annoying than being out on a bike ride and feeling your phone buzz in your back pocket. I could leave it at home, but I don't, because I also find the cell phone to be a useful, I don't know how to say this in the right way, but I'm going to say it the way that I feel it is. It's the best weapon I've ever owned while riding my bicycle. I find that using that cell phone as a defense mechanism, if I'm having a problem with an irate motorist, is just unbelievably powerful. I might have to talk about this again on another episode, because the usage of the cell phone and how you can use it and how you can very calmly diffuse a not so calm event is just an amazing thing. And it's a great tool. I love it. Besides tools, speaking of tools, segueing over to, yes, you need to carry some basic tools with you. Tire levers are useful. A spare tube is useful. A small pump is useful, or a CO2 cartridge, whatever you use to inflate your tires. Should you get a flat, you definitely want all that. Maybe some other tools if you feel like you need them. But hopefully your bike's in good enough shape that you won't have to deal with that. So that's definitely a good thing to keep in mind. The other thing that I recommend to people if you're commuting is, if you have the space to put it on your bike, if you are carrying a rack on the back of your bike, if you're a regular commuter, you'll have fenders, you'll have a rack, you'll probably have things that are necessary to deal with inclement weather. But I often tell people that, you know, you need to have some rain gear with you, because you just never know. It can be really nice technical rainwear if you're able to afford it. It can also be really inexpensive, what I like to call plastic bag rainwear. But at least it's something that will protect you if you get caught in a hard shower or a storm that is going to make it a lot more uncomfortable. So anything is better than nothing. I would highly recommend that you carry something like that with you. And again, there's lots of great technical wear out there. If you're not using an automobile anymore, you'll find you have an awful lot more finances available for getting the really nice technical equipment. And it's still a lot less expensive than owning an automobile. So, consider that and think about this crazy bike riding stuff, because it's really, really good for you. So, speaking of which, I had a little note over here too, going along with this, and it was, I wanted to talk just really, really short about my weekend challenge. I'm putting it out there. I want you to think about this. I know this is going to be very hard if you are a slave to your motorized vehicle. Consider, if you haven't done it already, giving up your bike. Giving up your motorized vehicle for a weekend. I'm talking 2 full days, 48 hours, no motorized vehicle. Can you do it? I'm saying yes, you can. I know you can. I know people who do this on a regular basis. I know people who don't own motorized vehicles, and the only mode of transportation they have is using public transportation or walking or cycling. Can you do it? That's my challenge. That's my reach out to you. Can you pull it off? Can you ride to the local bike ride that you like to go to on Saturday and then ride home? Yeah, so you're putting a few more miles on. But can you do it? My challenge is out there. Can you go to the grocery store? Can you grab a few bites to eat for the week that you need? Can you get what you need at the grocery store? My challenge is out there, and I know you can do it. So that's my big shout out to you. I'm going to end the show on that and bring up some upcoming events. We have a number of things coming up, including the Farm to Fork Fondos are coming up, and you can find out about those at farmforkfondo.com. The reason I mention those is because your old pal Peddlin' Ron and his co-host Fran will be there to greet you. I am the master of ceremonies of that event, so you'll get to, and I would love to have you come out and check out the events. There are 8 of them this year, and you can meet me, and I would love to talk to you about ideas for the future shows and what you're doing in your community for cycling. Let's have a chat. National Bike to Work Week is next week. It's May 14th through the 18th. Bike to Work Day is May 18th. Keep in touch with your local folks to find out what is happening in your community. Ride around the Quabbin Reservoir in Quabbin, Massachusetts is coming up on the 16th of June. And there's not much traffic, plenty of hills, and it's not a race. It's a ride. It's a really, really nice ride. The Seven Lakes ride, another beautiful ride that is coming up on June 24th. And I mentioned these are in our area, our media area. We live in a place that is very rural, and we have just unbelievable roads. And whenever I bring someone from outside of my community out to these places, they are just amazed at how quiet it is, how few cars you see. It's very, very pretty out here. July 28th, bringing up another event, the Thread City Century Ride, put on by the Thread City Cyclers right here in our local area. It starts at Edward Garrison Park on July 28th. And, of course, you can always, if you're more into the bicycle racing scene, go to bikereg.com. You can find out what's going on around the area there. There's lots of good stuff going on. So anyway, I'm going to end this on. My name is Peddlin' Ron. You have been listening to Bicycle Talk without my co-host, the lovely Fran Storch, who I am now going to go and rescue from the airport. A show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this live or on podcast and you'd like to comment, you can send me an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. And you can also listen to more and past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show or be on the show live as a guest, please send me an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedal and Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Storrs. Thank you for listening.